I strongly agree with you, and I think that as time progresses, more people will become educated about all of these risks, and at the same time, having experts and people who are professionals and have a strong understanding as to these risks, working together with various authorities, government officials, and police officers can only, you know, improve the, you know, the strategies that end up being implemented in order to mitigate these risks of attacks. And at the same time, I strongly feel that if government officials work closely with legislators and with lawmakers to, you know, strengthen the impact of the repercussions associated with attacking or being involved in a cyber attack can only result in deterring certain individuals from hacking, you know, from different parts of the world. So I do feel that, you know, the law needs to be put in place. And obviously, if there's someone who hacks your account and it's in the same jurisdiction, it makes it easier as opposed to someone hacking your system from a different jurisdiction. So I think that the laws need to improve, and there are certain legislations that need to be put in place in order to protect those who are perhaps, you know, attacked by a third party or by someone who's in a different part of the world. On top of that, I also wanted to mention that you have spent over 4 years in KPMG, Canada's Risk Consulting Advisory Practice. This is where you were directly involved in client engagements in the areas of enterprise risk management, business transformation, operations improvement, IT security, and strategy. And this primarily focused on work in the field of financial services, government, healthcare, and the energy sector. Would you be able to discuss some of the most rewarding and challenging aspects associated with the work that you did at KPMG?
Absolutely. I think looking back at my time there, I was there just over a year and a half ago. It was a great 4 years. I learned a lot. I think what the most rewarding thing and a challenging thing for consulting in general, whether that's back at KPMG or now with Mandiant, is really you're dealing with governments, with different clients in all kinds of industries, from financial services to, you know, not-for-profits, whatever. And they all have very unique challenges and opportunities, right? So being able to help them, you know, cut through the complexities they deal with and understand and, you know, navigate the environments that they're operating within is really, it's challenging. But at the same time, when you're there to see, you know, their reactions and to see how they receive the work that you've done, it's very rewarding too, because you become an advisor to your clients. And I think there's a lot that I did back in those, you know, those 4 years that was incredibly challenging, you know, dealing with different government agencies, helping them to improve safety, helping, you know, financial organizations to avoid certain risks, to understand how they can better improve their operations. I think a lot of that work was very challenging, but at the same time, incredibly rewarding. So I would just say that definitely look back on those years fondly.
As time progresses, how do advancements in technology increase the sophistication of cybercrime?
As we move forward, technology is rapidly, you know, progressing. And I think it's changed how we communicate, how we do business, how everything works, right? And because of that, there's a lot of risk. So there's a lot of benefits to that, absolutely. And I thought, you know, there's incredible benefits to the progress that we've seen. I mean, immense benefits. But at the same time, it increases the surface from which an attacker can attack. Because that with more complexity and with more interconnectedness comes more challenge. And, you know, we see it in the news all the time now, but in the next, you know, this year, next year, the next year after that, the Internet of Things, you know, everything is becoming more automated. There's more connectivity in your home, in your car, in what you know, deal with on a regular basis. And as this happens, it increases our enjoyment and our life. Like, it improves our life. It makes things easier. It brings forward tons of benefits. At the same time, it also brings in weaknesses in security. So just today, Nissan had to pull the app that they have for their electric car. The Nissan Leaf, they had an app that helps you control certain things in the car, because an attacker, by just knowing a very, very small amount of information about the car and in your number and whatnot, was able to change the heating and different controls in your car, and potentially, I mean, not in this case, you know, there's impacts that they could change your steering, change your acceleration, right? And that could also go into other categories. If you look at healthcare, you know, a lot of these devices over the years have been connected to the internet because it makes it easier to monitor, it makes it easier to remotely diagnose. But at the same time, it can also allow an attacker to potentially end someone's life. You see the same thing in the battlefield. As communications are used more and more, and, you know, regular internet connections are used in certain, like, let's say in Syria right now, or in Ukraine, it opens up the ability for attackers to intercept that information, and they can know where certain positions of certain insurgents groups are, and they could bomb those positions, right? It could be from your house. Someone could they could know when you're gone, so they could steal something. You know, there's an unbelievable amount of, you know, additional challenges that arise. So I think, you know, absolutely, we should be very happy about this, you know, the innovation and what we're seeing. And I think it's a very exciting time to be in technology. You have to balance that with security as well. And I think it's important for, you know, startups and other companies, you know, involved in this area to really consider the privacy and security implications of their services and of their products.
At the same time, I know there was a concern in regards to electronic health records being made available. Obviously, in the healthcare industry, that's something that healthcare professionals need to, you know, look into. But what would you say is your opinion in terms of the electronic health records that are currently made available to healthcare professionals?
So I think it's similar kind of thing. I think the issue there is that, yes, it's great to have them online. I think it's much more efficient. It's incredibly more, it's easier for practitioners, and if you're going to different hospitals and different clinics, to have everything online in one profile makes it incredibly more efficient, and it also reduces fraud and different things like that. So I think it's definitely where we need to go, but it does raise certain concerns, because if the companies that, either if the government or if the hospitals or the practitioners, if they don't have the proper security awareness, security controls, practices in place, then that information is incredibly sensitive, and it's not protected, potentially, right? And if they're dealing with third parties like labs to do tests or different insurers, whatever, you open it up to additional risks, right? So being able, again, to really balance, again, yes, it's very efficient and effective and economical to have them online, but you need to balance the security implications of that. And just be aware of that. So definitely important to have that online, but you need the proper precautions and awareness.
And I think that, as you mentioned, that applies to so many different areas, and pretty much anything that's made easily accessible results in the risk of an attack happening. So just taking those precautions and then being careful, making sure that, you know, you work closely with your team if you are a corporation and you have, you know, a lot of clients who rely on you and you are deemed to be a credible business or corporation, then oftentimes it's useful to invest in looking at different strategies that can be implemented in order to strengthen the security of your corporation as a whole. And the same thing applies to different sectors, the health industry, education industry, business, so many sectors, different sectors that are out there. It's just highly relevant. I do want to thank you very much, Mr. Troiano, for joining me today. You've provided extremely valuable advice for our listeners today. Would you like to share any final words with our listeners?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. It's been, you know, a great opportunity. I really thank you for that.
My pleasure.
But I would say just, you know, challenge, you know, raise your awareness. Challenge the companies you deal with. Challenge your own company. Challenge the government. And make sure that you're seeing what you want to see. So, you know, if you have concerns, raise those concerns. So I think it's up to all of us to be, you know, corporate citizens, as well as, you know, citizens of our different societies, and to do our part, because a lot of times it's on the individual level that the risks are as well, and not just on the overall level. And I think it's also worth imparting this, but cybersecurity is an incredible field right now, and it's very exciting. You know, being a professionalist field, it's definitely an exciting field, and I would encourage many of you to, you know, to study this more closely, just understand, you know, how this can be applied to geopolitics, how it can be applied to whatever work you do, because it has unbelievable repercussions. And I think it's definitely a very exciting field with a lot of impact. So
certainly. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.